Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on which part of the day you're watching me. Today we'll be talking about chapter 2, the several components of the IT infrastructure. I'm Urvish Acharya, and I'll be explaining that to you. Okay. After this chapter, or once we discuss this, you'll be in a position to understand the basics of IT infrastructure, okay? The several topology or several the network type of connectivities. You'll be also be able to understand the several network infrastructure components like OSI layer and etc. As far as the server infrastructure is concerned, that will also be covered or discussed in this chapter. Finally, something on cloud we'll be talking about in little bit of more detail and the storage infrastructure. Okay, so let's move on with the basic understanding of the IT infrastructure. So as I had explained during chapter number one, that what can be considered as an IT infrastructure. Okay, so basically we had started with the laptop which you have, and finally the server which you are kind of accessing it. But just to simplify it further, anything which you can touch, feel, see, that can be referred as an IT infrastructure. Okay, so the server which you are able to see it, which you are able to upgrade, operate. Okay. That can be part of your IT infrastructure. Your router, which you are able to rack mount, you are able to connect the console, cable, etc., etc. Infrastructure component, your tablet, your barcode scanner, which is used in the warehouse, could be a part of your infrastructure component. Okay. So infrastructure component, as I had said, and this is just a repetition, that it provides the strong foundation for any application to work or any business critical application to function or to work. Okay, starts with laptop and finishes on the cloud. Okay, the storage where the data is going to be stored. So we'll be talking about the network access storage and the storage and network as we go in this chapter ahead. Okay, so let's start with the endpoint. So endpoint. The laptop which you carry, the laptop I carry, or the desktop, which is given in the organization, that can be referred as an endpoint that we discussed before. There are types of the endpoints. Okay, so just to spend a little bit more time on this slide, there are two types. One is thin client and one is the thick client. Okay, thin client is something wherein it'll be a kind of dumb terminal. Okay, you will not have any hard disk, you will not have any the high capacity CPU or the memory etc. on the thin client. The job of thin client is just to connect the centralized server which may be hosted at your data center and to work on the applications. Thin clients are generally given or used in the financial institutions with the only reason of the confidentiality, because the organization do not want any payroll information or any information related to the financial data to go out. Okay, so if those data are stored on your laptop, which is on a thick client, okay, the chances are high to get those data out. But with the thin client architecture, it is not possible. Okay. As I had mentioned, thin client will have a minimum CPU, bare minimum. It may not even have a speaker. Okay. It will not have a storage. Okay. But though it is a cheap and it is highly effective, I would say, but it has two problems. One is it needs to be connected with the centralized infrastructure all the time to operate. If there is a connectivity failed between the thin client and the centralized server, the user will not be able to function. The second problem with the thin client is the bottleneck. So if my centralized server is heavily utilized and the response is slow, my all thin client connected with that server will also be acting slow. Whereas in case of the thick client or the thick terminal, either the desktop or the laptop which is given to the people, has the high capacity CPU, can function independently, can store the data within itself. And there is no question of any bottleneck there. Okay, moving on to the network infrastructure. So what can be referred as a network infrastructure. So as you see in the diagram, okay, so for a more understanding purpose, I have just put it on the diagrammatic format. So what you see on your left hand side is your primary data center, okay, or your primary server, I would say, or a primary site. Something on this side, it is something is called as your secondary application server or a secondary site. Primary site can be function in the normal operations, and in the event of anything disastrous happen, you can move on to the secondary site. Again, this is something which is a cloud kind of connectivity, which is shown, in terms of you may have an internet cloud, you may have an MPLS cloud, and those are also connected with your spoke locations. When I say the spoke locations, maybe your branch offices, maybe your, factories, and so on and so forth. So network infrastructure is nothing but, helping branches, helping offices to connect with the centralized server, centralized infrastructure, or on the cloud. Okay, the management of this network infrastructure can be done remotely, and the adequate redundancy also can also be placed here. Okay, so in this chapter we'll also be talking about something more, which is supporting the network infrastructure on the fundamental level, and we'll also be talking about the newer technology which is emerging in this field. Okay, so the OSI layer. So for any network to function, or for any packet to be delivered from sender to receiver, there are several stages it has to go through. Okay, so OSI layer, a very, very important and very successful model, which is helping this packet delivery. Okay, so we'll be talking about this OSI layer, but the full form, or it can be represented as open system for interconnection. Okay, it's a standard, and as I said, it's a fundamental element which helps for the secure delivery. Also, the layer, since there are seven layers in the OSI model, each layer is helping the other layer to carry out its own function. Okay, so once the packet is processed by the below layer, it is delivered to the layer above it, and the layer above it processes it and gives the service to the layer which is above that. Okay, so as you see on the slide, there are seven layers of the OSI. Friends, sequencing of this layer is very, very important. Okay, you need to remember the sequence. Okay, layer number seven, application layer. Obviously, we'll be talking about all the layers in a great detail. However, now understand that there are seven layers and associated function of it along with the example. Okay, starts with the application layer, which we can understand. We as a human can understand. Okay, so maybe your Outlook client, or maybe your the Teams chat client, or maybe Teams viewer, or maybe your Gmail. Whatever you see on the interface, which you can understand and function, that works on application layer. Okay, presentation layer is, again, we'll be talking about each in detail, but now understand that the presentation layer is something which helps the session layer to present the data in the form which application layer can understand. Okay, similarly, session layer, transport layer, network layer, data link layer, and physical layer are forming a seven layers of OSI model. Now the question is, how will you remember? Okay, there are high chances and people get confused. Okay, so I would rephrase as a line, one line, which will help you remembering this. Okay, so you may note down a statement in your notepad. I hope you're carrying one. Note down a statement that please do not throw sausage pizza away. I repeat, please do not throw sausage pizza away. Take the first letter of each. P, please, presentation layer, the physical layer, okay, do not, D, data link layer, not, N, network layer, okay, throw, T, transport layer, S, sausage, session layer, pizza, presentation layer, away, application layer, okay. You can, if this statement is not comfortable to you, you can probably form the statement which you can remember, but the fundamental important thing is you need to remember these layers in the sequence. Okay. Now let's have a deep dive onto the all specific layers. Okay. The job of OSI layer is to deliver the packet or the processed packet to the next layer and vice versa. So let me go back to the slide. So whenever you are sending a packet, okay, so whenever you are sending an email, it travels from the application layer, goes all the way back down, reaches to the receiver, it flows back from down to top. Okay, so this is what a sequence. So once I finish up explaining all the layers, we'll come back here and I'll also explain you with an example. Okay, so let us talk about the function of the OSI layer. Okay, as I had mentioned, that each layer is responsible to carry out its own function and to deliver the service or the processed packet to the layer above them or below them. Okay, each layer, so there are several protocols which work on each layer. Okay, so there are one thing also needs to be understood, that the four layers, the transport, network, data link and physical layer, are largely concerned with the flow of data from one to another. Okay, when we talk about the upper layer, which is application, presentation and session, they are more oriented towards the application. So when I say application, it's something which is either maintaining the sessions or moving the data into the way the user can understand. Okay, physical layer, a very first layer in the OSI model, the bottom most one. So to explain you in a very layman's language, the job of this layer is to convert the bits into the voltages. Okay, so the LAN card which you see on your laptop, or the RJ45 interface which you see on your laptop, that works on this physical layer. So whichever you can connect physically, that works on this layer. Okay, so the name itself suggests that it connects the physical cable or physical devices. Okay, this layer is also responsible for signaling. Okay, so like whatever we type, that is in the digital format, right? But the cable is something which is connected physically, so there also may be a requirement to convert it into analog form. So this layer takes care of it. Okay, a physical layer has the predominantly two responsibilities. One, send and receive the packets, and second is defining the standard interfaces. So few examples which are quoted here for your understanding is RS-232 or the SONET or the ISDN. Few of you might have worked on ISDN in their older days. So ISDN also works on the physical layer. Okay, data link layer, the second layer. If any of you might have heard of a MAC address, okay, or a media access control access hardware address, that actually works on the data link layer. Okay, just to clarify a little bit more, many of your organization might have a policy that if any visitor is coming to your office, they may not be given an access to the wireless straight away. They will have to kind of get their MAC addresses of their laptop whitelisted. So MAC address is nothing but the hardware address. So if you want to see, if you are curious, go ahead and open a command prompt on your laptop and type ipconfig/all. You'll be able to see the IP address as well as the MAC address in the command prompt. Okay, so MAC address, address resolution protocol, reverse address resolution protocol, ARP or RARP, that actually works on this layer. Okay, data link layer. Transport layer, as the name itself suggests, it is responsible for transporting my packet from one source to the destination. Okay, it establishes the logical connections between my several hosts. Okay, the host may be one or two, but it is primarily responsible for establishing my logical connections. Okay, a very, very important function of this layer is that it ensures that my packets are delivered error free. Okay, so few of you who might have worked on the routers and you know who might have seen the CRC error or the cyclic redundancy check errors, that are, you know, errors which are thrown by this layer. Okay, so the job of this layer is to ensure that my packet is delivered without error and in sequence. Okay, it also ensures that there is no duplication of packets. I would not like to have any packets which is sent to me another time if it is not essential, right? This also helps my upper layer, you know, in terms of forming the virtual circuits. Okay, and the examples quoted here, or the which protocol works on this layer, is something called as a transmission control protocol, TCP, and the user datagram protocol. TCP is again a connection oriented protocol which has the three-way handshake connections between sender and receiver. We'll talk about it in just a bit. But UDP is something, you know, the user datagram protocol, which is also referred as a connectionless. So whatever VoIP communication which we have, either on Teams or on a WhatsApp call, that is actually happening on the UDP, not on TCP. Okay. In UDP, there is no guarantee of ensured packet delivery, right? Because there is no three-way handshake happening there. Session layer, okay. Somebody needs to maintain a track of, you know, sessions or, you know, the connections happening between sender and receiver. Okay, so the job of session layer is precisely that. Okay, it ensures that I have the session established between sender and receiver. In case the session is broken, it re-establishes it so that the communication is seamless. Okay, examples or the protocols which work on this layer are the NFS, network file share, or the SQL, which is a database, and remote procedure call, RPC. Okay, presentation layer. So as the name itself suggests, the job of presentation layer is it takes the information from the application layer and the layer below it, which is a session layer, and putting it in a form which can be understood, right? This session layer is also responsible for having a common means, okay, to represent the data. A very, very important. Okay, so you may have received the data in a several form, but this layer ensures that it is in a common form which can be handed over to the application layer, which application can understand, and so as the user. Okay, moving on to the examples per se. There is an ASCII or the BMP file or the JPEG file which you see on your laptop whenever you are storing a snapshot or whatsoever, or AVI format, whatever you see. Those all are a part of the presentation layer, or they work on the presentation layer. Okay, the application layer. The layer which we all of us see. Okay, now let's go back and understand it with the example. Okay, now Tom wants to send an email to, say, Jerry. Okay, now Tom, what he will do, he will open an Outlook or the Gmail console, right? And he will type in, "Hey Jerry, how are you doing?" and so on and so forth. That is application layer which we discussed, right? Which one can understand, which one can see. He hits the send button. Okay, the moment he hits the send button, what happens in the background is there is a session which is created, right, between that application console or application with my underlying components. So my underlying components could be my switch, okay, or could be my database there. Okay, so it establishes a session and it understands that this needs to be initiated, this is what is the receiver address, and this needs to be delivered. Okay, it flows down further in a chain wherein it reaches to the transport layer. As I said, the job of transport layer is to ensure that the packet is delivered to the right recipient in a right fashion. Okay, so obviously it will process and send those packets to the network layer. Network layer knows that which is the best route with which I can have this packet delivered. Okay, so if say for example Tom send Tom is based out at Singapore office and Jerry is based out at India, there may be a several path, right, in between. So you may have the path which is connecting via some country and the path which may be a longer which is connecting via some other country. Okay, but it's the job of network layer which ensures that which is the shortest path, which is the most reliable path, which has the best, you know, connectivity, which will ensure that my packet is delivered from Tom to Jerry. Okay, likewise, once you know I have that that routing defined, okay, my packet reaches to Jerry. Okay, now again the packet needs to be travel through the piece of wire or, you know, the piece of you know, the wireless access point. So again, my physical layer, my and my data link layer will play a role here. It will convert that you know, the file or the packet in a way it is you know, understood by the LAN card or the LAN interface, and once it is there, my packet will flow in the upper direction, same way like how it was flown from top to down. It will go back from down to top and it will be presented to Jerry that this is an email which has been sent from Tom. Okay, so this is the entire the work of the OSI layer, which helps us, you know, ensuring the packet delivered in an understandable form. Moving on and talking about another layer, again a very important layer called TCP/IP, Transmission Control Protocol, Internet Protocol. Okay, this is also a layer similar to OSI layer. The only difference is OSI had 7 layers, TCP has 4 layers. Okay, because why TCP has 4 layers, we'll see it in the upcoming slide, where, you know, the job or the structure of OSI layer several protocol has been combined or clubbed in a one layer in the TCP. Okay, TCP is again you know, a very important protocol which has the 4 layer, as you see: application layer, host to host, internet and network access. We'll talk about it each in detail. Okay, so the network layer, again, as the name itself suggests, the job of network layer is to ensure that you know, my packet is being exchanged and monitored and sent without any error. Okay, so there are examples given: Ethernet, which is working on my on my bottom layer, and the point-to-point protocol, which is also ensures or works on the network layer. Okay, this layer is also, you know, kind of clubbed with the data link layer, wherein this also ensures that my transmission, which is happening from my network layer to my secondary or second layer or a hardware layer also. Okay, internet layer, the second layer of the TCP/IP, which, you know, talks about the logical transmission of my packets. So when I say the logical transmission, it is nothing but, you know, the movement of packet to frames and so on and so forth. It is also responsible for providing an IP address to understand that, you know, which IP address it needs to communicate to, which routing protocol this needs to follow, and which routing path it needs to be followed. Okay, the examples commented here are internet protocol, IP, and RARP. So in the OSI layer, if you recollect, the RARP or the ARP was functioning on the data link layer or the second layer. Here it works on the internet layer. Okay, host to host layer. So TCP/IP, as I said, has a 4 layers. So host to host layer is mainly responsible for having the connection established or having the, you know, connections talking to each other on a end machines, right? Now this layer ensures the error-free delivery. In OSI layer, it was a different layer. Here in host-to-host, the error-free and the error-free packet delivery and the data integrity. You know, when I say the data integrity, it ensures that the data is not changed in the transmission. Okay, if there is you know, man in the middle who has sniffed your data and changed it, okay, this is the layer which will you know, throw an error that the data has been changed. Okay, several examples given of which works on this layer, host to host, is TCP, the Transmission Control Protocol, and UDP. Application layer, pretty much same like OSI layer. This also is responsible for converting the packet in a way that the user can understand. Okay, the protocol which work on this is the browser, or when you type the google.com, there is an HTTP. So HTTP protocol works on the application layer of the TCP IP, and the FTP. Like, say for example, if you have a need to transfer the large files to your auditor, or to someone outside your organization or within an organization, you use FTP or TFTP or SFTP. So FTP also works on this layer. Okay, this slide talks about the comparison between OSI and TCP. Okay, if you see it carefully, there are four layers of OSI has been clubbed into one in TCP. Okay, so application layer, presentation layer, session layer, and transport layer are clubbed together, and only one layer in TCP IP is an application layer, takes care of all. Okay, on the right hand side, if you see, there are several protocols which are listed out which works on this layer. Okay, so just to call out a name a few, you have a telnet, you have an FTP, you have also SMTP, which is responsible for your email transfer, and you have DNS and so on and so forth, works on the application layer. Coming to the below layer, okay, the job which network layer used to do can be taken care by the host-to-host layer in the TCP/IP. Data link layer is replaced with the internet layer, and physical layer is replaced with the network interface. Right, so this is what is apple to apple comparison, wherein the TCP/IP is the layers are reduced and one layer is responsible for handling more functions. This is also very important for all of you to understand and remember. You may have a question from this topic. Protocols is also very important for you to understand that which protocol works on which layer. Okay, the complete understanding of the mapping of the layer with the protocol is essential. Okay, IP addressing. We all of us know what is IP addressing, right? Without IP addressing, how a computer can talk, right? So today, if you are connected on internet, you will be assigned an IP address. Okay, if you are connected with your home internet, maybe you might have been given 192.168.x.x. This IP address is nothing but the address. So just to give an example, okay, if I am ordering a packet or a gift from Amazon, okay, it needs an address, right? Without address, my packet will not be delivered. Similarly, for my any packet, which needs to be reached to a destination, have to have some address. So IP address is something which is required, which is unique in a way, and which is helping the packet to be received at a required recipient. Okay, there are several class of the IP address which we'll also be talking about it. A few of you might have also have an exposure of working on IPv6, which is upcoming. So we'll also be talking briefly about it. Okay, but now you should understand that every machine should have a unique IP address, because within an organization network, if the multiple host have been given the same IP address, there is a potential chance of conflict. Okay, and obviously you would not like to have a conflict and the degradation of the performance. Okay, IPv4. So there are two basic types of IP addressing. One is IPv4 and one is IPv6. IPv4 is today, we are getting an IP address whenever we are connecting on the home internet or in the office network. But you might have noticed that if you are traveling overseas, okay, or maybe you are accessing your internet from the airport network, you are given a long address. Okay, that is IPv6. We will talk about it in just a bit, but IPv6 is also now a reality. The reason is we are almost in a verge of exhausting the public IP of IPv4, and we have no other choice than move on to the IPv6 for the public internet routing function. Okay, the private IP addressing can continue to be as is, but for a future public routing point of view, IPv6 is something which is upcoming, right? So IPv4 is a 32-bit in length. Okay, so it has four octets. So when I say octet, each octet consists of 8 bits. Okay, so you have 8 plus 8 plus 8 plus 8 comprises of 32 bit addressing. It is it is also called as a class based IP addressing. Okay, so we'll talk about class in some time, but now you understand that IPv4 is, again, things to remember is it's 32 bit. The representation is given 192.168.x.x. It may be 172 and so forth. Okay, refer this table or a chart where you will be able to see that there are several class of IP addressing mentioned. There are 5 classes in IPv4, class A to class E. This is also very, very important slide for all of you to remember. This is a fundamental, guys, and this will be helpful everywhere in your future journey. Okay, so class A. So if, as I had mentioned before, that you have an octet. Okay, so class A. So fundamentally, always remember that IPv4 has the network address and the host address. Okay. The second column talks about the network address, basically the number of bits in the network segment and the number of bits in the host segment, the host segment are the bits or the IP address which can be assigned to host. Okay, a host, when I say host, it could be a router, it could be a switch, it could be a laptop, it could be anything. Okay, the IP address which is being assigned to the machine, it's called as a host address, right? So class A addressing has 8 bit in the network segment and 24 bit in the host segment. When it is going to be used, or when it can be used? Okay, so when you want the large IP address to be allocated to your end users, you use class A IP addressing. Okay, so if you notice, there are host per network is 16 million. So if you have a very large setup, a very large college or very large company, which you need to support, maybe this IP addressing can be used. So the starting address is from 0.0.0.1 to it can go up to 127.255.255.255. Right, the last column talks about the subnet mask. Subnet mask is something, the moment you see 255, the 255 represents your network bits, okay, and rest of it are zero. Similarly, if you come to the class B, it is kind of a balancing between class A and class C. Class B has 16 bit in the network segment and 16 bit in host segment also. The number of network or the number of subnet it can support is 16,000. So you can have a 16,000 various subnets, and it can give 65,000 host IP address. Okay, the IP address ranging can start from 128.0.0.0 to 191.255.255.255. Again, the subnet mask could be 255.255.0.0. Okay, this is something for you to remember. Okay. Class C addressing, very widely used, almost every organization I've seen, they use class C addressing scheme, where I have more bits in the network segment and I have a lesser bit in the host segment. The only purpose of using this addressing scheme is if you want a more number of subnets. Okay, when I say subnets, you may want to give the specific range to a marketing department. You want to give a specific range for IT department. You want to give a specific range for admin department. Okay, where I would be having the more the segments, and I will have a less people or a less host to be assigned an IP address. Okay, so if you notice, there are 2 million network there, and the host per network is 255. Okay, so when I have a smaller amount of machine, smaller amount of employees, smaller amount of users to be given an IP address, I can use class C IP addressing. Okay, the address range starts from 192.0.0.0 and it ends at 223.255.255.255. Okay, class D is specifically used in the multicasting. You might wonder that multicasting is used where. So in the trading industry, okay, wherein if you are a broker or a trader from the Bombay Stock Exchange or the National Stock Exchange, okay, they broadcast in the multicasting, okay, because you want to have packet sent from one to multiple people, right? That's where the multicasting addressing is used, and for class E it is reserved for research and development purpose. It is not generally used. Okay, class A IP addressing, 8-bit network address, something very, very important for all of you to remember and understand, guys. It has 24-bit in a host address, okay. If you are not able to, you know, remember this, remember the table, and you know, remember the correlation. If you, the moment you remember the correlation, you'll be able to remember all the IP addressing scheme. You may have a question from this segment also. Okay, the IP ranges are also mentioned, what we have discussed, and it can have 16 million nodes or 16 million IP addressing schemes. Moving on to the class B addressing, it has the 16-bit in network, 16-bit in host. The IP address it can support is up to 65,000xxx. Okay, class C addressing also we have discussed, wherein I need, if I want more subnetting to be done, if I want more segmentation to be done, and I have a less number of people within each segment, I can use this IP addressing scheme. Very, very common, very, very widely used, right? And it contains the 254 nodes in each segment. Okay. Class D, it's used for multicasting. The IP addressing range is also given. For, it is important for you to remember again. Okay. And finally, the class class E, which I said it is used for R&D purpose. Okay. So many of you might have heard, you know, the terminology called as a private addressing or a public addressing. What is that? Okay. So let's understand a little bit here. Private addressing is nothing but, you know, an IP address which is not routable on the internet. When I say not routable on the internet, so suppose, say for example, if you have been given an IP address of 192.168.x.x, when you are connecting from your home network, if somebody wants to try and access that IP address, or maybe they want to, you know, take a remote or RDP of your laptop, they will not be able to do it without any application. Okay. And that IP is not routable. So if somebody is trying to ping that 192.168 IP address from the external network, they will not be able to ping. So in a nutshell, private IP addressing is nothing but which is used for the closed network. It is not publicly routable, right? On the private addressing scheme or the private addressing network range, these are the three range from which the IP addresses are being assigned. You may assign an IP address in a static way, or you may assign an IP address with the use of the DHCP or a dynamic host, right? So these are the IP ranges. So most of you must be familiar with this IP addressing range. You either get the IP addressing range in the form of between 10.0.0 to you know the 255, or from 172 range, or from 192 range. Thank you so much for watching me. Appreciate your time. Take care.